Three cheers for humanity. Hip, hip, hooray. No fears or insanity. We can stop this today. If we're in solidarity, we can make this go away. Stay, stay, stay home and just let your heart play. Stay, stay, stay home and just let your heart play. Because we're all in this together. Hey, yeah. We're all in this together.
Hello. Welcome to episode 84 of Black Girls Squeak, the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a
squee!
My co-host Dee Dee, and my best daughter on social media.
And I'm your other co-host, Enda. I go by Enda's Corner on the Twitters.
And together you can find us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, on Tumblr, at blackgirlsquee at gmail.com. You can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Podcasts, and on, you can put it on your favorite podcatcher using our RSS feed. And you can find that at our podcast home, which is blackgirlsquee.simplecast.com. Okay, before we get started, just to let you know, if we talk about television, most of the time we're going to have spoilers. This is just how we do. So, warn you in advance, and we're not sorry about it.
Nope.
Also, we squee really loud. It's in the name of the show. We cuss a lot. And we talk about penis.
Yes. Yep. Excuse me.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, not a lot of us are getting it during this.
Yep.
And again, we're not sorry.
Nope.
So, with those warnings, if you're still here with us, we'll get started on our Squeeworthy news.
Okay, so our first item of Squeeworthy news. You may have seen this is Rihanna is on the cover of British Vogue and she has a durag. And I think apparently this is the first time that has ever been seen on a cover of British Vogue. And if you are interested in that, I'm sure you're interested in all things Rihanna, you can actually download the issue free from British Vogue's website, and that's going to be available, I think, till May 3rd. Yeah, your free download must be redeemed by May 3rd. So you can either download it from the British Vogue app on the either Google Play or the App Store. So if you want to get that. So, yeah. Congrats, Rihanna. She's always being awesome. So... So to Rihanna and her durag on the cover of British Vogue, we give a big squee!
All she needs is a Newport.
Yep.
Hanging out the corner of her lip.
Yep.
Blackest cover ever. In our next item, Starz gives a series order to the person who created Living Single is Yvette Lee Bowser,
mm-hmm.
And the new series is called Run the World. The series leads will be played by Amber Stevens West, Andrea Bordeaux, Brescia Webb, Corbin Reed, and Stephen Bishop.
Ooh.
This series is part of Yvette Lee Bowser's overall deal with Lionsgate TV. And Director Millicent Shelton directed the pilot, so there's a lot of black women involved. So, to one of my sheroes, as far as writing goes, Yvette Lee Bowser, let's give a big...
Okay, and in some really happy news in all the mess, you may have heard about a certain someone trying to sue Ava DuVernay and Netflix over defamation. However, Ava and Netflix have won that defamation suit for When They See Us because the judge tossed it out of court. Says here, because the First Amendment protects non-factual assertions, and because neither defendants Ava DuVernay nor Array Alliance Inc. has sufficient minimum contacts with the state of Illinois to justify hailing them into court here, Reed's complaint is dismissed. And this was dismissed by U.S. District Court Judge Manish Shah, and this happened on Monday, so at the end of March. Deadline reported on this. They have links if you want to read, you know, the order. And I'm not even saying that woman's name because fuck her. Fuck her and the damage she did to these kids. And now she want to cry because she got accurately depicted in a film. But hey, so just want to say congratulations to them. Congratulations for getting an actual judge who can just, you know, well, these are the facts of the case, and you know, you can't sue somebody for defamation for something that you did, basically. Like, you did it. This was what happened. So, well, okay. So, to Avis, to Array Alliance, and to Netflix, we give a big scream.
Right now, we're going to roll into our main topic, which we hope is very timely and helpful.
Yes.
During this era, this new normal we all find ourselves in. And we're going to talk about coping strategies during COVID-19, I don't know, what do you call it, sequestration.
Self-isolation.
Anyway, we're sequestered.
Yeah.
We're sequestered and
shelter at home is the official, I think. Shelter at home, because most of us are actually under those orders. Yeah, like all of us except like 8 states.
Free to use this opportunity to shit on the state of Florida in your head. Just don't at me. It's my home state, but
I think my home state also haven't.
To be proud of.
I think my home state haven't either, and like most of my family is there. And I'm just like blinking, like, what the hell are you doing? But you know, not gonna dwell on that.
Florida just this week started. Tell people to stay their asses at home and finally close down beaches. And
I'm so mad because Mississippi did too. I'm not from Mississippi, but Mississippi did too. But then they started rolling it back. Like, what is? Never mind. Like I said, we're gonna talk about something else. Yes.
We're talking about coping strategies.
Yes.
So hopefully, you're actually following mandates from the CDC, even if your governor has not endorsed them or whatever. Hopefully you're following those guidelines. You're staying in the house as much as possible. You're disinfecting as much as you can. You're practicing social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
And washing your hands frequently and all that good stuff. We're just going to talk about what coping strategies that we've been using during these several weeks that we've been inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, so I'm going to start with what we're reading. I'm going to stick with comfort reads. I'm reading some other stuff. But as far as comfort reads, I have to recommend Talia Hibbert's Ravenswood series. It's set in a small town in the UK and features heroines of color, mainly black women, for the most part. And so I would recommend the in the series, three novels and one novella. So as far as comfort reads, I definitely would recommend the three novels, which are A Girl Like Me, A Girl Like Her, Untouchable. That one is really funny. And That Kind of Guy. And they're now being bundled, all four stories are being bundled into into something called a Hold Me Close, a cinnamon roll box set. And it's being sold for $4.99 at online book retailers. So check that out. Just go to your e-retailer of choice and search for Talia Hibbert. That's T-A-L-I-A-H-I-B-B-E-R-T. And Ravenswood series. You should be able to find that. Those are they're fun, and you'll probably end up wanting to grab everything that's in her her catalog, which is it's pretty deep for a 20-something. I can't believe she's only like 24 years old, but she's got a pretty big backlist already. So that's one thing that I'm reading to give me comfort. I'm reading a lot of romance as far as comfort reads. And another one that I can recommend is friend of the show, Katrina Jackson, has a new story called Office Hours. I first read it on an app called Radish Fiction. That's R-A-D-I-S-H. They're offering the story chapter by chapter on there. So I think like every week you get a new chapter. So it's still ongoing. It hasn't been completed yet. But Katrina is offering the story for pre-order online before it drops, before the full story drops on April 24th. So you can either check it out on the Radish Fiction app chapter by chapter, or wait till the full story drops on your e-retailer of choice in April. But it's really good, so you might want to check it out now. So Enda, what are you reading?
Well, I'm about about halfway through Mickey Kendall's Hood Feminism. Yeah, I started reading that a while ago, but unfortunately I don't get that much time to read, not as much as I want, because sometimes when I'm just done working, I'm brain fog. So I'm about halfway through that. It's a really good book. It's what I wish you would see more in academia, something that's not afraid to let it come from like the first person point of view, because nothing is objective, but she still has all of these really good ideas about the failings of mainstream white feminism and why black women and other non-black women of color, even though our actions might be feminist, a lot of us might not use that term feminism or feminist because of what is associated with white mainstream feminism. And so Highly recommend. That's if you really want some nonfiction. Also, if you like your Kindle ebooks, like look at presses like Haymarket Books and PM Press, because they're offering free ebooks for like Angela Davis's Freedom is a Constant Struggle, you know, How We Get Free, Socialism Seriously, stuff like that. If you really want to, you know, get into more of your nonfiction, your theory stuff, and you know, social issues. So if you want to do that, you can check those out. Also, I'm stocking up on my romance too, because I'm, like I said, I don't have as much time to read, but I'm in the middle of Rebecca Weatherspoon's A Cowboy to Remember. I'm pretty sure anytime it comes up something I'm reading, I mention her because I love all her work. And yeah, this one starts off some drama. Just, she always gets that drama right there at the beginning, get that out of the way, so you're going to focus on the romance. And hadn't got to the sexy stuff yet, which is interesting because I'm like about 40% through. And I'm like, oh, there's not, you know, they hadn't. Okay. But I think this is actually a sweet romance because she does erotica a lot, but this one's a sweet romance. And yeah. But I've been stocking up on some other stuff because I think I got these for free. I don't think they're romance. I don't know. But Shelley Ellis, she has like a trilogy of books, On Point, Love Grind, and Her New Groove. They were all available for free download. Another romance writer, Jackie Lau, she had a romance available for free. I don't know if it still is right now, but she's a Asian romance writer if you want to check her out. Also, Alyssa Cole. I got a couple of books from her. I read Can't Escape Love. If you want to read something that centers not only people of color, but also dealing with disability and neurodivergent folks, you might want to check that out. And I also have Once Ghosted, Twice Shy, but I hadn't read that yet. It's part of her Reluctant Royals series. Can't Escape Love also is, too. So, oh, yeah, I also do have a Princess in Theory, so... Yeah, those are her Reluctant Royals titles. But, What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, lots of stuff to read. I mean, like, a lot of it is available for free, but if you can kick them a few bucks, please do so, because, like, people in the arts right now are hurting very badly. So if you you got it, give it, but if you don't, try to keep it in mind for when things start to get better again, so we can help each other out. But in the meantime, yeah, if you got some stuff to read, check out these black women writers.
Okay. So that's what we're reading right now.
Yep.
As far as what we're watching, WNBA is offering their league pass for free for the next 30 days. So I'm checking that out so I can see my champion Washington Mystics. It doesn't look like we're ever going to get that parade anytime soon.
Aww.
Or start the season as the reigning champs anytime soon.
No.
So I'll just watch game five of the finals over and over again on a loop and just, celebrate that way. God damn it. Anyway. So WNBA League Pass, just check that out, WNBA.com. Another thing that I'm really loving right now are these music battles on Instagram. I think it all started when Timbaland and Swiss Beatz went head-to-head. And they had so much fun on Instagram Live that they started planning other battles and they're coordinating all of these battles between songwriters, other producers.
Yep.
and stuff like that. So they did one between The Dream and Sean Garrett. That didn't work out that well because they don't seem to like each other very much. They did another one that was really awesome between Neo and songwriter Jonte Austin, who is Dallas Austin's brother, I think. And it was great because a lot of people know all the monster hits that Neo has written. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know Jonte is behind some of the biggest hits in R&B. Like, he co-wrote Be Without You for Mary J. Blige.
Oh.
He co-wrote, like, half of The Emancipation of Mimi. He has credits on Shake It Off, on It's Like That, and, of course, the monster hit We Belong Together. Like, he's got some heat in his catalog. I was surprised to find out that he wrote this, like, one of the few Trey songs cuts that I like, a song called I Can't Help But Wait. He co-wrote that. So it was kind of an education as far as learning, you know, what was in his catalog. And we all know that, you know, once Neo dropped Irreplaceable, he was going to kind of win the battle. But so it's kind of fun to see how they sequence the songs in the battle to kind of, like, you know, it's kind of like a jab in the mouth or an uppercut, but instead of doing that, they play, you know, a song, and it's really cool. So that one was good. Mm-hmm. Then Scott Storch battled Manny Fresh. I was rooting for Manny Fresh, but Scott had too many hits. So when you can pull out multiple hits from Beyonce and Mary J. Blige and Grammy Award winning songs from The Roots and shit. Like, overwhelming. Held his own, and he's, you know, one thing you can say about Manny, he did those tracks himself, and can't say the same for Scott Storch. So, because all those hits he played also have Timbaland's fingerprints on them, Dr. Dre's fingerprints on them, and, you know, You Got Me has Questlove and Black Thought's, you know, fingerprints on that. So.
Yeah.
So he and Manny Fresh are not the same.
No.
So, but anyways, it's just fun. And now this weekend there's going to be a battle, I think, between T-Pain and Lil Jon.
Oh, so, Lord. Oh, Lord.
That's going to be a mess. It's a good thing that we're all stuck in our homes because Lil Jon had a lot of fight music. Lil Jon made a lot of music that he used to get into fights in the club over. And but you know, I gotta roll with man T-Pain, because you know he's from the A50, represent Northern Florida. But he might get waxed on this one. He was supposed to go up against Scott Storch, but that wasn't fair. And Timbaland and Swiss Beats pulled him out of that one and got him on this one. But the big battle is this weekend is going to be between Teddy Riley and Babyface.
Are they still going to go through with it? Because I was reading that it was canceled.
I don't know. I was waiting for somebody to pull the plug on some of these on these battles. Once they really clog up Instagram Live,
if
they did, that would be fucked up. This was really, it was just fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it is also.
Why you get mad?
Yeah, but it's also like, this is like the beginnings of hip hop, because it was DJ battles at the beginning of hip hop. You know, that's what it was about. Like, who could, you know, do the best scratches, who could, you know, pull out the best samples. And, you know, then, of course, you know, if you had an MC, you know, whose MC was better. It's so fun. It is so fun. And I actually do like watching the reactions to it on Twitter, too, because everybody just gets hyped for their fave. And it's, and yeah, it's like you said, it's always better when the DJs like and respect each other. Because that's what they were talking about with Manny Fresh and Scott Storch. They said you see them when the other one was playing, the one who wasn't, you know, would be bopping to their shit, and it was all right. It was all good, you know. So that was, you know, I like that appreciation. Like, it's all in good fun, and you know, it's entertainment.
So yeah, I hope that they don't shut it down.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, can't put anything back.
No.
But they were fun while they lasted, and you can still catch some of them on YouTube. You can replay them if you want. I know I replayed the Neo and Jonta battle, because Jonta Austin is fine.
Oh, really?
He is fine. And he came to the battle. He came to an IG Live battle in a full suit. Suspenders, cufflinks, everything.
Oh.
Yes. So, first of all, he's fine. Second of all, he got money. So, he was letting y'all know. And the whole thing, and during the whole battle, he was like sipping Douce or something like that. Yeah, he doing all right. So, I had fun looking at that one. And, yeah, my hope it's not canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't pat it.
I mean,
past him.
Yeah.
That's been giving me joy. I've been having fun with those.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a battle that we could get some women into.
Oh yeah.
It's not a lot of women that have enough music in their catalog. To do like 20, so the rule is like 20 tracks a piece.
Ah.
And you play 20 tracks, you know, a minute and a half of each track, and you battle like that.
Ah.
So there's not a lot of people that have written or produced. Well, unfortunately, there's not a lot of women in this era that have produced at least 20 tracks to battle off of. Missy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Mariah, but she's mostly written and produced her stuff for herself.
Yeah.
It could be Missy and Faith Evans.
I don't know if
she's written and produced for lots of people.
I know Bebe Borelli, she's written and produced for a lot of other people too before she started doing her own stuff. I can't really think of too many more, but I mean, thing is, there probably are some, but their names are not as known. You know, we don't, because I won't hear about them having worked with other people until they're finally ready to debut their own stuff. And but yeah, I'm gonna have to.
What's her name? Victoria Monet.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I should look up and see if there's any of women that I tend to play on the show who might fit, because a lot of them actually come out of producing and writing for other people, and so we have to see what's on their repertoire.
Yeah, we need to get some women into this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it doesn't seem like Missy wants to do it.
Yeah,
she got on Twitter talking about I don't have enough hits.
Girl.
I love you, Melissa. I love you, Melissa Elliott. But if you don't stop lying.
Missy could, for real. Missy could battle herself with the things that she's done for herself versus the stuff she's done for other people.
I mean.
She really could.
Yeah.
She could.
I mean, there ain't a lot of people really fucking with her.
No.
Male or female?
No.
Like, the only people that are on her level are, like, Timbaland.
Yeah. That's
like her brother.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pharrell, and they're all from the same place.
Yep.
I really would love a Missy battle.
Yeah.
Anyway, Missy and Faith, come on, do it for the culture.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. So that's what I am watching / enjoying. What about you?
I haven't really watched a lot of stuff because like I said. No time, not a lot of time, and brain fog. But there was a series that came on Netflix I really, really love. It's called Giri Haji, and that translates to Duty Shame. And it was a collaboration between BBC and a company in Japan. And so what happens, this police officer, this police detective from Japan, he gets called to go to London because it looks like a Yakuza hit happened in London, and he thinks his brother, who is supposed to be dead, is behind it. And so it's about him going over there and dealing with stuff that, you know, he's having, you know, issues with his family at home, like, you know, with his mom and, you know, his in-laws now are living in the same place. And then when he goes and he connects with a another detective. She's played by Kelly MacDonald. So she's a Scottish woman in England, and she's actually kind of ostracized by the department because she turned over another cop for corruption, and who is actually her ex-boyfriend at the time. And so it looks like she thinks that he's targeting her for harassment because he just got out of jail and all. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on because when he gets there, you know, he connects with a gay male prostitute who's actually half English, half Japanese. And his daughter, after a couple of days, actually ends up running away from home and joining him in England. And there's some really interesting stuff that's going on with them because you find out, you know, first of all, you find out if the brother is still alive or not, and actually why he ended up having to leave or having to disappear from Japan in the first place and all. And it's never what you think. There are a lot of twists and turns that are really good. It's one of those things is told very well with, like, flashback and, you know, kind of like everybody's stories, you know, kind of coming together and all. So beautifully told, and I really, you know, enjoyed these characters. They had some really good stories for, like, the Quilt Bag folks in it and all. So I would very highly recommend that series. I think it's like 8 or 10 episodes long, you know, like an hour each, and it's actually really good if you just want to binge that for a day. It's really good. So, Giri Haji. And otherwise, I just finally caught up on How to Get Away with Murder again because it just came back this past week. And I could not believe who the actual murder victim was because I couldn't believe they went there. And so, but they did. And I don't think anybody who's a fan of the show is actually going to be too upset about it, to be honest, but, you know, weakest link, we're good. And I also finally started, I'll probably finish it before this airs, got back to Kim's Convenience because that finally came back to Netflix. And so that's actually my favorite Canadian show, and I love this family. So if you know the show, you know the show. It's fun, it's light. I was actually surprised, though, that they're, even in their humor, they're dealing a lot more with race and racial stuff in it. You know, how people are being, like, casually racist to them and stuff. So, that's a happy place right now, and I need a happy place right now. So, if you somehow have not watched Kim's Convenience before, this would be the perfect time, because that is such a good, fun show. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Great. So that's what we're watching. And as far as what we're listening to, well, this is sort of this is kind of mixed media, but if you're on Twitter, if you're on Black Twitter, if you're on Music Twitter, if you're on all three, then you're familiar with Naima Cochran's Music Sermons, which are long threads that she does on specific topics in Black music. And she's been doing a lot of them lately because ain't shit else to do. So she's done some stunners. In March, she focused on women in music for Women's History Month. So she did a 3-part series on forgotten singers and songwriters of the 80s. She did a great thread on, Angela Bofield, Phyllis Hyman, and Stephanie Mills. And that made me go back through Stephanie Mills' catalog and all of the hits that I love for her. Shout out to Something in the Way You Make Me Feel. To this day, that still goes. Shout out to that and the classic, I've Learned to Respect the Power of Love. And I say that because this segues into the second part of that series where Naima talks about Brenda Russell, Patrice Rushen, and Howard University's own Angela Winbush, who wrote both of those songs for Stephanie Mills, and had a great career of her own, and with her ex-husband, Ronald Isley. But Angela wrote some great songs for herself and for others, and they still hold up to this day. She wrote Baby Don't Cry for my love, Layla Hathaway. she wrote some great ballads for the Isley Brothers, and some great duets. She wrote Hello Beloved. Aww. I don't know if you remember that song, but it's a beautiful R&B ballad. And she's been sampled a lot.
Yes.
Jay-Z sampled her a lot. So it's all good. As long as she's getting the checks in the mailbox, I'm sure she's not mad at whoever wants to sample her stuff. Patrice Rushen and Brenda Russell also got sampled a lot. Which is great, great for their checkbooks too. Brenda Russell got covered a lot too by Luther and Olita Adams, and I'm just her music sermons are an education. They take you back. They're a time machine. And they're just fun. It's just fun to go through all that music and be like, oh, I remember that song, or oh, I didn't know she wrote this. And so that's it's just really fun stuff. And she creates playlists that are available on Spotify and on Apple Music. So she's doing a lot of work with these threads. So check them out before Twitter her in jail for posting all these videos and stuff. She's always getting notices, DMCA notices, cease and desist notices and stuff like that.
Really?
Videos and stuff. She set up a separate account for when they try to shut down her her original accounts.
Okay.
She's got her one account at Naima, N-A-I-M-A, and then she's got the Twitter jail account at Still Naima. So follow them both, because there might be a takedown. She's been through this before.
Okay.
Posted a tweet that her friends joke on her and, you know, call her a repeat Twitter felon. So she's been through it. She knows what to do. So check her out. At Naima and at Still Naima on Twitter. So those bring me a lot of joy. And I read the threads and then I listen to the playlist. And another thing great to listen to is the voice of LeVar Burton reading wonderful stories from authors like N.K. Jemisin.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Niecy Shaw and all of these people.
Yes.
And now he's doing it live on Twitter during the week. So he's stepping up his game so to help us stay in the house and stay entertained. So
yes.
Big up to LeVar Burton.
Yes.
And another thing I'm listening to that brings me a lot of joy is the Black Chick Lit podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the hosts of that show also does the Ice Planet Barbarians podcast.
Yes.
Which is a trip. It is a trip, because those books Ooh. Are a trip. And hearing people talk about them is a laugh riot. So
wild.
Check those out. Black Chick Lit and Ice Planet Barbarians.
Just wild.
Yes, it is. So what about you, Enda? What are you listening to?
Mostly podcasts, and yeah, Black Chick Lit podcast is one of those. Actually, before I say those, I haven't been following all of it, but yesterday I did go to Jay Smooth's Twitch, because he's alternating between Facebook and Twitch now every day, and yesterday he did a couple hours just chatting and playing Bill Withers music, and it was actually kind of nice listening to the music and hanging out in the chat, and he has his cat on camera. had a camera
and
on
Wallace.
His cat. Yeah, Wallace had a cat on camera, and it was just really nice hanging out and just chilling, you know, like I said, listening to Bill Withers. But he said he usually does it like on Facebook, like maybe 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is inconvenient for me. But yesterday I was able, when he did Twitch and hung out there, and you know, that's probably on video on demand by now if you missed it. So if you don't get taken down for being playing music and showing YouTube videos, so you can try to see if, you know, that's still there. Mostly podcast. And so, like, a lot of the podcasts I like, they are actually story podcasts, like, you know, reading short stories and things like that. And if you like science fiction, fantasy, speculative, stuff like that, Escape Artist, a podcast family, what are they? They are Escape Pod, Podcastle, Pseudopod. I think they also have Cast of Wonders, but I don't know if that's a podcast series. But they also now have something called Cat's Cast, which, and there was a really cute story from the point of view of a cat that they posted on all three of their feeds the other day. So that's actually, you know, really good. I've been listening to them for years. I've also been listening to Uncanny Magazine for years. And so they, in addition to, you know, going to their site where you can read their stuff, they have a podcast where you can listen to the stories being narrated there as well. Nightmare Magazine, those are good because those are sometimes really short. You know, if you just have like 20 minutes, half an hour, a lot of those stories are within that, then right there. Lightspeed also, some really good speculative stuff. And also, I recently got into Tales from a Black Universe, which are black sci-fi fantasy stories. And I don't know if she's had to go on hiatus for anything right now because of everything that's going on, but yeah, she did recently come back for second season, and It's only been a couple of episodes, but I think she runs every 2 weeks, so I don't know if it's been postponed or anything like that, but we'll have to see how that's working out. I also really do enjoy, like, the romance podcast, like Didi was saying a minute ago, Ice Planet podcast. I've never read any of those books, but listening to them talk about those books, I am just, it's like I go through a face journey with how with the goings on in these books, because like, what is even going on? I don't know, but man, I can't. You have to listen to this. You just have to listen to it to believe it, that somebody wrote this series. I mean, you just have to. Okay, but yeah. And like you also said, one of the ladies from Heaving Bosoms actually joined the host on Ice Planet podcast. And I actually do enjoy Heaving Bosoms because they do review and they talk about a lot of romance books, and there are spoilers in that. So if you haven't read it, you know, if you might want to read it first if you don't want to be spoiled on it. And they also do, sometimes they'll post like some of their Patreon some shows where they talk about romance movies and stuff. But I forget which one of the hosts on there, she just starts having these laugh attacks and just starts snort laughing. And that's hilarious in and of itself. It is so funny. But she also did, yeah, I think I did just say that. She also joined the Ice Planet podcast host to talk about one of those books there. And they're on hiatus right now too, because they've had some personal things come up. But there are like eight episodes of it now, I think. And you can, you know, this would be a perfect time to just catch up on all of those. And because you will not believe. You just will not believe this series. And I also recently started listening to Shelf Love because they're doing a Decameron series where they get some people together. And they talk more about the dynamics of romance and stuff like that, and, you know, tropes and things like that, you know, what's going on in the industry, which is also actually really good. So those are like the romance things I have.
Katrina Jackson's on there a lot.
Yeah.
Cheating on a Shelf Love,
so. That's actually why I started listening, because I saw she was on it, and I'm like, okay, I'll give this a try, like that, yeah. But otherwise, I mostly like just black women talking to each other, you know, just having conversations, and you know, just doing different things. And so, of course, black women, black people. So some of the podcasts I like, you know, Your Gay Aunties, I like them. Secret Lives of Black Women, that's really good. Of course, Marsha's Plate, which we talked about here, which is two women and one man. And of The Read, of course, because they're still kind of hilarious, the letters and stuff. And Scam Goddess, which I actually enjoy. And oh my God, just recently, the last one they did, the person that they'll talk about scams that have happened in you know, the past and all, and they recently talked about, I forget this woman, like, she's one of those, I think, self-help people, and actually has a deal for a book to come out, and the book is called Scammer, and she gonna get on Twitter and talk about they were slandering her, like defamed her or whatever, like, okay. And they're just sitting there like, okay, all we did was read the news accounts of what happened, and you have a book coming out called Scammer. How are we defaming you? And she just did this white woman victim so hard on some shit she did. And so, yeah, that was wild. That was wild. But Scam Goddess, once the host found her stride on that, it got really good, because, you know, she and whoever her guest is, for the week, you know, they play off each other really well. And you know, it's the scams are always also just like, some of them are just so freaking unbelievable, but it's like you don't know whether to be horrified or impressed with these scams. And so that's actually a really good, you know, escape if you like, you know, true crime with, you know, a funny twist. That's really good. Yeah, you know, I listened to a lot of interview series. Oh, I also started listening to Queer Women of Color, which is also two black women as well. So yeah, that and Call Your Girlfriend, which is interview series that they do, or, you know, they'll review books and stuff, whatever, you know, they're doing for the week. So those are some podcasts I really, really enjoy listening to. And I think that's it. I mean, I listen to a lot more podcasts than that, but those are the ones I'm just gonna I'm gonna stick with.
All right. So, anything else you're doing as a way to cope during this time?
I'm just trying to keep like stuff I normally do, because like on Saturdays I put on the two Solange albums, A Seat at the Table and Let It Play Through to When I Get Home, and like I exercise to that, you know, I get some me time, you know, and have a good, you know, breakfast or brunch, whatever time it is that I finally get around to eating. You know, I couldn't do it last week because I just felt so blah, but today, you know, I managed to get back to it and, you know, got some movement in, you know, got some, you know, some cardio and a little meditation. And so, yeah, that's me.
Okay, well, I'm just going to recommend something that I'm doing, you know, to keep me from staying too long on social media,
mm-hmm.
you know, is going back to journal writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying this is something I'm doing. I'm not recommending this for everybody else because I know some people don't like to do it or aren't able to focus or whatever, or whatever. It's not going to work for everybody, but it's working for me.
Oh, that's nice. So, good.
And, you know, anything that keeps me off of Twitter keeps me from posting some really goofy stuff to Twitter that's going to get me, make me feel worse.
Yeah.
Or have people in my mentions trying to make me feel worse. You know, I think that's a good thing. It's self-care. So, stuff that's not safe for Twitter, I will write in my journal.
And yes.
Then burn before my death. So that's one thing. Also, another thing that's going on streaming. Inda mentioned Jay Smooth, and yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's the one that brought me back to Facebook. God damn it, I haven't been on there in like years. On there because one night playing Prince concert.
Ah.
I was like, yeah, I got to log back in for the first time in at least a year.
Yeah.
To watch Prince with Jay Smooth and his cat Wallace.
Aww.
So, it's his fault. I'm back on Facebook. Yeah, but also Questlove is doing. He's like, I don't know when that man is sleeping because he is streaming all night. Get up in the morning, he's still streaming. I'm like, and he's doing it on multiple platforms. Like, he be streaming on YouTube, IG, Twitch, and Facebook all at the same time. I don't know what his setup is, but it is of God. Because I don't see how you do that many things on that many platforms all at once without something crashing. But
yeah,
if you need music, he's streaming almost all the time. And you can find something you like, and you can also learn some stuff. Because last night he was celebrating the life of Mr. Bill Withers,
yep,
who has has transitioned. And he was not only playing Bill Withers songs, but he was playing all the covers.
Yes.
I never knew that Al Jarreau, the Staple Singers, Gil Scott-Heron all did covers of Grandma's Hands. Like, aww, it's ridiculous. How many people have covered his music.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows the immense amount of respect that artists have for Bill Withers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you wouldn't think you'd be able to fill 4 hours with Bill Withers' music, but when you include all the covers and then all the people who have sampled his work, yeah, you can fill 4 hours.
I can't believe
time with Bill Withers' music.
But I can't believe he only recorded for like 10 years. Maybe a little more than that, but he didn't record for that longer than that. Because, like, early 80s, his record company tried to fuck him over. He's like, fuck that. And he walked away.
Yep. So, could have had more, but.
Yep. You know, mm-hmm.
Record company people are shady.
Yep.
So, that is. That is our main topic. Strategies. If you have some other things you want to share with us, some other ways to cope you'd like to share with us, hit us up at Black Girl Squee on Twitter or blackgirlsquee@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we might have to keep this going. This might have to be a running segment.
Yeah.
Who knows how long this stay at home mandate is going to last.
Yeah, we're going to be here for a minute.
Because yeah. Y'all's president. But anyway.
Yeah, y'all.
In this corner.
All right. So.
I ain't vote for.
Me either. Okay, so just want to talk about 5 artists that just put out some work within the past couple of weeks. First is Sylvia Black, who is one of my goth favorites. And just a couple of days ago, on the 2nd, she dropped an album. It is called Last Laugh, and it's kind of, in a way, it kind of, to me, picks up where she left off with Twilight Animals, which was a reworking of a bunch of covers that I really, really want to see somebody do a cabaret show around. But yeah, she's kind of got like this, excuse me, this goth sound. It's like a rock there. She is just like, she makes music for me. She really does. And I've listened to this album a couple of times since she released it. And yeah, I linked to it on Twitter because I'm just digging it so hard. So Sylvia Black, Last Laugh. You should check that out when you have the chance. Another album I really enjoyed is actually another album of covers. It's by Candace Springs, who was actually somebody Prince actually kind of throwing some shine to before he passed. And she released a jazz album called The Women Who Raised Me, and there are some really good covers on here. She has X Factor, which I played on the show. She has I Put a Spell on You, I Can't Make You Love Me, which Prince also covered, and I actually like his cover better than Bonnie Raitt's. So sorry, Bonnie Raitt, I love you, but I like his cover better. But she covers that. She covers Killing Me Softly, Strange Fruit, and The Nearness of You. Just 12 really good, you know, covers here. You know, that's kind of, you know, more of a traditional jazz sound, and she does a really good job revamping those. So if you don't know Candace Springs, this is her 3rd album. You should definitely go and give her a listen. The next 3 artists, I played them on the show last week because they've just dropped new stuff. And the first one I want to talk about, Sunny War. She dropped a surprise EP because she has had to cancel like all of her upcoming stuff. And she's one of these artists. She makes money by touring, but she can't right now because of obvious reasons. And she dropped an EP called Can I Sit With You? And if you like acoustic stuff, you like guitar, you know, just a one person and their guitar singing folk songs, definitely go check this out and also get her other albums because they are also really good. But this one has four tracks on it. I played the title track on the show, Can I Sit With You, if you want to check that out. Also, another one of my favorites, Witch Prophet, also known as Ayo Leilani. She released DNA Activation. And this is, every song on this album is named after a member of her family. And she just, this is just such one of those really good, it mixes genres but also expands them. Like if you've ever, if you know, you know, kind of what I mean by there, by that, you can definitely, you just have to listen to it. You know, there's like some funk, some rock, some pop, all of that is just there. And of course, she's, I think she's Ethiopian culturally. And so that comes into play too. So definitely want to give her a shot. Also, I just want to, I think I've mentioned before, she had a collective in Toronto where she's from called 88 Days of Fortune. And she was very vocal about promoting queer artists in the music industry there. So definitely show her some love. And Yasmin Lacey also released an EP called Morning Matters. And Yasmin Lacey has a really great neo-soul sound if you like neo-soul. And this is actually a really good EP. Actually lasts a little longer than it would feel like it does, but it's really good. It's something you can kind of get lost in. So you can check that out. And I think all of these except Candace Springs you can find on Bandcamp. And also, almost forgot, Imani Coppola released a single called In This Together, I think just yesterday or the day before. And Denisha Odige, she released something yesterday too called Forever. And both of those are available on Bandcamp as well. So a lot of black women still just putting out music, and they, please support them. And also get your life, because, I mean, we need our arts right now. We really do, if we're going to get through this intact in any way. So check them out. We'll be playing some more of them on the show, because definitely got to get some of this Sylvia Black stuff on, because I am in love with this album already. And so yeah, there's that. And yeah, so that's kind of something I would play on the Black Swan Collective. And that is over on Mixcloud. You can find that on mixcloud.com/EndaLauren. So, if you're interested. And so that's Enda's Corner.
Thank you. Again, you can listen to the Black Swan Collective, and many of these artists will be on it on mixcloud.com/EndaLauren, IndaLauryn. And you mentioned Denisha, right?
Yes.
She just dropped something, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. And now we did our coping strategies, we went to Enda's Corner, and now we got to catch the fade. I'm just going to keep this quick, because we're trying to chill and not be super angry, but...
Yeah.
Man, I'm really not trying to talk to y'all about music on Twitter. I really need to see some ID. If you're not my age, if you're
child,
not my age range, I don't want to talk to you about music.
Child.
I'm sorry. Y'all youngins don't know shit, and y'all don't Google. Y'all just say shit on Twitter and wait to get blasted. And I'm not here. I'm just... Y'all be making me want to log out. Y'all be saying just goofy shit about Janet and Prince, and now y'all saying goofy shit about Quincy Jones. And the best thing out of that is that I learned that his middle name is Dwight, and that brought me joy.
Listen.
This music legend, his middle name is Delight. And people will, and when they're blasting you about your ignorance about Quincy Delight Jones, they use his full name. And I love it. getting on my nerves. Y'all be making me log out the app. So thank you. Because when y'all say this really goofy shit about legends that you don't even take the time to Google, you deserve everything you get. And I'm tired of dealing with y'all. Debate your mama. Don't get on Twitter and try to have debates about music when you don't know shit about music. All right. Oh. Sorry, that came from my heart. I'm tired, girl.
Well, yeah, I keep forgetting that there are people on Twitter who were born like after the year 2000. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you want to debate music anyway? If you've only listened to what's been on the radio since you've been born or since you were a teenager, please stop debating about music. Stop debating about people who aren't from your era if that's not what you listen to. If all you listen to is Kanye, please don't compare Quincy Delight Jones to Kanye West. When you've not listened to the four decades of music that Quincy has written, played, and produced. Please don't compare Kanye's 10 or 20 years to Quincy Delight Jones. Thank you. have you anything to add to this?
Listen, all I say is I actually never get into the music debates on Twitter, because that's how they always go. Somebody just say some goofy out of pocket shit, because either they for real don't know, or they need attention. And you know what? I don't get paid. I do not get paid to argue with these people. I do not.
It's not worth the headache.
No, it is not.
I see the ignorant tweet, and I'll be like, all right, exit.
Yep.
That's enough Twitter for today. That is enough.
Scroll right past, because, yeah, y'all, look, you want to pay me a lot of money per hour for my time to debate you on some shit, you can find my PayPal. Can find my Cash App. Can find my coffee. But I ain't gonna get it. I ain't doing this shit for free. I ain't.
Oh.
I got better shit to do.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, so that just gets on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
This next thing. Yeah, I'm gonna get into it and see if we can get in and get out. Been a whole day, but these White House press briefings are some bullshit.
Yeah.
First of all, there's no need for this clown to be on every fucking day.
No.
When he never has anything informative or helpful to say in these press briefings. He gets on and just reads very monotone, like he could give a shit. He reads from somebody else's, pre-prepared words. And he's always looking at the paper. He never looks into the camera. He's just too busy reading, because he probably got those words like right before the briefing. And he's reading them for the first time. And it's just very insincere. And you can just tell doesn't have shit to say. Like, he'll say, I've been in a meeting with these leaders. Okay, what did you talk about? Did you make any plans? Give us something substantive if we have to see your ass every fucking day. And the other day he was pivoting from coronavirus updates to war on drugs updates. I'm like, who gives a shit about that? What about these ventilators and these masks? focus. Please focus. And he spends so much time talking about bullshit that the actual experts that we'd like to hear, like Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, we don't get to hear them because the local news will cut them off as cut back to the local broadcast just as soon as that clown finishes talking. And I hate that. Because lately, Dr. Fauci hasn't even been in the briefings because he's been busy trying to get the message out by going on every other show on the planet. And we don't even get to hear Dr. Birx. Nobody seems to respect Dr. Birx, I guess. They only see Dr. Fauci, which is, you know, misogyny, but whatever. So yeah, these briefings are bullshit. That clown is full of shit. Pence is full of shit. He was standing in front of the graph, and he was very reluctant to move away from Dr. Birx's graphs so we could see the data that she's showing on her charts and stuff. Because he just wants to be on TV all the time. He wants all the attention on him. But it's got to be the right kind of attention, or then he gets, he has a hissy fit and lashes out at the media. Not just all the media, just mostly certain people, mostly women of color. And he's just an asshole. Fuck everybody who voted for him. All these deaths from COVID-19 are on his head, and they're on your heads too. Fuck you.
Yep.
That's all I have to say for Catch the Faith. Inda?
I'm just going to leave that. That's pretty much how I feel about it all, too. Just slap that man's hand, take the microphone away. You know what? Force him to resign or whatever. I don't give a shit. This is just how you know that wealthy people, politicians, and all of them, that's just how you know. They live a completely different reality from the rest of us because they really don't give a shit about what's actually really happening to the people here that they are supposed to serve. They really don't. And thing is, you're not going to make them. They're just looking for the next money grab. And once they get that, make out like bandits, they're not going to give a shit. So, I mean... Yeah, that's it.
All right. Before I get too upset, let's talk about some print. also, for this episode, we should probably call it This Week in Debt and Den Cheeks because
cake. Cake.
Yes. These two inductees into our pantheon of pain also stay double cheeked up. We've already talked about Aldous Hodge in a previous episode, but we're gonna talk about him again because he's making the rounds. He's all up on Twitter timelines with gifs from the latest movie he's been in, The Invisible Man. That movie looks too scary, but those gifts, he is looking right in them gifts. He is looking broad-shouldered and double-cheeked up on any day you choose. yes. Yep. He definitely got one of those booties you can bounce off, quarter off of and make change.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to you, Aldous Hodge. You've always been fine. Just a new set of people are realizing it because they're stuck in the house and horny as hell. We at Black Girls, we've been news. We saw you in Leverage. We saw you at Underground. You're still fine. Shout out to you, sir. And want to shout out Deion Cole. He is an actor, comedian. You know him from Blackish and Grownish. He tweeted a picture, you know, just to encourage people to stay in the house. But it was a picture of him on this huge bed. Like, you could fit like 2.5 of my beds in that bed. And he was just wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And,
there
ain't no pants made by human beings that can hide that ass. We see you, Deion Cole. You are also double cheeked up any day you choose. And I am not mad at you. Yes, I am a fan. I do like big butts, and I cannot lie. It does not matter what gender you place them on. I am an appreciator, a connoisseur of cheeks. So shout out to you, Deion Cole. You ain't have to show us all that, but I'm glad you did.
Yes.
Thank you. So I did not know. I knew about all the times. I did not know. I was holding all that.
Excuse me.
From the waist down, but now I do.
Yep.
So, Enda? What say you?
Look, I saw that picture and I'm like, okay, first of all, yeah, that bed was huge, but then it was like, oh, dude, like, I don't recall ever seeing you before in my life, but you are on my radar now, because god damn. Ooh. Oh.
X-rated woman as vocab.
Okay.
We was right there. We was right
yes.
at the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
About to jump into the gutter.
Yeah. I just had to go back and look at the picture again because, oh my god, that was just, oh my god, that bad. Okay, woman as vocab. Not so much a vocabulary word. I just want to talk a bit about self-isolation. I'm just going to say what I think it is, what I, you know, my understanding of it. Self-isolation, pretty much all it is, it does not mean you can't go outside ever. It does not mean, you know, you can't go do things, like, well, I'm just, yeah, you just can't go outside ever. It means, like, stay inside as much as possible. Like, if you have to go out, you know, to get food, supplies, whatever, that is perfectly fine. It does not mean I'm going to go chill with my friends here who are asymptomatic, you know, don't have any symptoms, so, you know, it's cool, because you just don't know. Do not do that. Self-isolation, you stay with the same people. If you have people, you stay with them as much as possible. Do not, you know, get out of that circle, because that's the scary thing about this disease. You can have it and not know. You know, if you're not showing any symptoms, you can still pass it on to somebody else. So that's the thing about self-isolation. I mean, right now, yeah, I'm asthmatic. I have, you know, lung issues, so I'm actually pretty terrified about catching it if I haven't already, because looking at some of the symptoms I have, I could have very, very well had a mild case of it. A very mild case, because I didn't even get, you know, like the pain, you know, the fevers, and they said that some of the people who have milder cases actually don't have fevers. And so they come up with, like, new symptoms of it all the time, or things, or some symptoms that people who have cases are showing. And so it's not just a matter of keeping yourself safe. It is being considerate to others who, you know, may not be have options, because there are some people, they have to go to work. And some of them who have to go to work, we should be very grateful for them, because they are the ones, you know, keeping things clean, keeping, you know, people healthy, you know, keeping us with the things that we need, of course, like food and, you know, soap, because, you know, wash your hands. I mean, if you have the privilege to not have to go out, because I work from home, I have worked from home for like 10 years now, so I have that privilege that my job has always been remote, and so I'm not out of anything right now. Stay at home. Stay inside. If you need to go outside, you know, and walk around the block, do that, you know. Don't just stay cooped up, you know, and getting, you know, cabin fever if you can't, okay? Do that. But it's like, be mindful of, like, social distances as well, you know. Try to stay as far away from people as possible, you know. And, of course, now they're telling us, you know, wear a mask. Wear a mask, you know, if, you know, even if it's not, you know, a surgical mask, that's still better than not having any protection at all. Wear a mask. And also, I just want to say, you know, people, you know, y'all really don't understand what introversion and extroversion means, because introverts are also having a hard time with this, okay? I know, you know, you're seeing a lot of, you know, like, well, we always stay in the house and don't, you know, go in there and do anything anyway. Okay, that's not exactly what introversion is. What that means is we get our energy, we recharge by being alone. This does not mean we don't need people or we don't like people. Trust me, if you have an introvert in your life that's always canceling on you, or, you know, just doesn't want to show up for things, it's because you're draining them and they don't want to be drained. Okay? Let's just be real about that. So, yeah, we miss, you know, people that we don't get to hug right now. We aren't just sitting here like this is a cakewalk. It is not, okay? We would rather be spending our energy with people that we love and that we care about. But not just introverts, but all of us know, a lot, well, most of the people that I, you know that the best thing we can do right now is to keep a distance, and we have to self-isolate, because the sooner we do this, the sooner we flatten the curve, and the sooner, you know, and we don't make it. I don't know if, you know, we'll have a vaccine or whatever within however long it's going to take, but the point is to not overwhelm the healthcare system that is already stretched to capacity. And because, face it, if the nurses and the doctors, if they die, so are we. Okay? That's just that's why we need to self-isolate as much as possible. Okay? That is all we're asking. That is all anybody is asking. If you think you are having a hard time, you know, because, you know, you just need to, you know, do stuff, you need to feel, you know, like you have the freedom to do whatever it is you want, that is so selfish. That is very selfish, because you never know what could happen with this. So that's all I'm saying. Self-isolation, yes, that is like the best thing, that is the most considerate thing that you can do right now. Self-isolate and wash your hands frequently. Disinfect your surfaces if that's going to make you feel better too. But, you know, you want to go sit on the porch, yell across the street at your neighbors while y'all have a conversation, please do that. Okay? But do not be up in anybody's face that, you know, you are not, you know, regularly around, you don't live with. So, that's my womanist vocab sake.
I just want to add a little postscript for the, I don't know, for the small minority of people,
yes,
introverts, like, not all introverts are alike.
Yeah.
There might be some that are struggling. Mm-hmm. There might be some who are introverted and also on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like me. And
yeah.
They might be seeing everybody complain and they're like, well, I'm not feeling those same things. There's
yeah.
something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you.
No.
You're just as valid as they are. You don't have you don't have to be the one. You don't have to feel like they feel just to feel normal, whatever that is. So, just want to say that not all introverts are alike. So.
No, but it's like everybody thinks that introverts are being smug right now, but like that's actually kind of not what introversion is, that's all I'm saying. Like, yeah, there are going to be some who are like, oh well, yeah, I mean, I do this all the time anyway, so yeah. Okay, good, that's fine. But it's also like, but this, I'm just going to put it this way, a lot of, extroverts are taking this as an opportunity to be like, just how much we hate y'all,
Yeah, because they're mad, because this whole event has kind of tilted things in introverts' favor.
Yeah.
So extroverts are going to be up in arms and have something to say, because their way of doing things and their way of seeing the world has always been privileged. It's been privileged in the workplace. It's privileged online. It's privileged in society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have something that's forcing you to stay inside and only meet with people in certain ways, like online
mm-hmm.
or over the phone or something like that.
Yep.
And it's taking extroverts out of their comfort zone.
Yep.
And introverts have always been out of their comfort zone. So for once, we're finally, a lot of us are in our comfort zone. And
yes,
some of them may be smug about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fucking blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them, because and believe me, if you're working from home, you can definitely notice all of the ways that the extroverts are trying to fight back and, demand that you be on camera during Zoom meetings.
Yep, yep.
And, make all these demands because they need to see faces.
Yep.
Or Skyping you all the damn time so they can, because they just need to talk to people.
Yep.
It could be about nothing. And you're trying to do some work, but they just need to Skype you for 30 minutes about some bullshit. Yeah, they're fighting back. So,
yeah.
The extroverts are mad. I could give less than a shit. I mean, I'm tired of having to conform to y'all's way of doing things all the time, because it's... So, and the one time you have to conform to a more introverted way of doing things, y'all are freaking the fuck out, and I don't care. So, but that's just me. I don't speak for all introverts.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, don't try to fucking go out clubbing and shit, because come on. All you have to do is have some basic consideration for other people, and we will get through this. Because our fucking government does not give a shit whether we live or die, so we have to. Stay inside.
Yeah. Unless you want body bags stacked high, sky high, stay your ass in the house.
Please.
Like, just exercise some self-control. Some of it is that some people, I'm not going to name names, some people just do not like hearing the word no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About anything. Want to do everything they want to do, when they want to do it.
Yep.
How they want to do it.
Yep.
And it's fucking up the whole country right now. All right. Before we talk this into the ground, we will end our show for now. Again, if you want to hit us up, talk to us about things you want to hear on the show, you can tweet us at Black Girls Squeam. I'm at Dust Daughter. Inda is at Inda's Corner. Our email is blackgirlsqueam@gmail.com. You can also go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review our show and leave a comment there. You can access the show on Google Play Podcasts and add it to the podcast app of your choice using our RSS feed, which can be found at blackgirlsqueam.simplecast.com. So until next time, bye.
Bye.
Stay your ass in the house.
Stay the fuck at home. The Rona is spreading. This shit is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the fuck at home. Now, technically, I'm not a doctor. But motherfuckers listen when I read a poem. So here I am, Sam fucking Jackson, imploring you, keep your ass at home. If you want things to get back to normal, don't panic. Just use your dome. Wash your hands, stop touching your face, and stay the fuck at home. Motherfucker, it's no time to gamble. Look around, you're not at a casino. Just stay the fuck home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino. Sure, you can still see your friends. Use the motherfucking app on your phone. But unless you just ran out of groceries, please stay the fuck at home. Thank you for doing your part to flatten the curve, because that shit is steep. And now that you're home, please feel free to go the fuck to sleep. The end.